The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, are we pampering our dogs too much, from their outfits to the social occasions? Have we just gone a little bit too far? News Talk reporter Josh Crosby has been asking the public in Cork.
It's not that they've gone too far with them. Obviously, like, some pets are people's kids, basically, or children, if you want to call them, you know what I mean? But I just find them unhygienic. Outdoor cafes, sitting down outside, fine, but not inside.
So if you're in a bar there having your dinner and someone comes in, they have the dog beside you?
Not a chance. Because, like, let's be honest, like, they're pets, like, they're animals. They are dirty. And they're inside, and it's meant to be a so-called clean, hygienic restaurant. But yet, you know, you're able to bring in a pet and the floors are going to be dirty, smelly. They're still dirty. You're still going to get the smell of a dog.
No, I don't think there should be pet-friendly bars. And I don't even own a dog, but I was a service handler.
You think it's only service dogs?
Service animals should have access to buildings, pubs, everywhere. They do. And when a pet is brought in, we don't know how that pet is going to react to the service dog, and then put the child, the adult, the service user of that dog into a medical emergency. It's just ridiculous.
No, I think that it should be allowed. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something that should be introduced more. So I'd be all for giving animals more space and comfort and inviting them into different places.
I have a dog in Spain. My girlfriend is moving next week, and we can't bring our dog with ourselves because the landlord said, like, no, we can't accept that one.
Are the Spanish more welcoming to pets than the people of Cork?
Yeah, pretty much. Not the people itself, like landlords.
I would feel comfortable in them, yeah. I like animals, so.
So you'd like to see more of them?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I don't think I'd like a dog in a bar. I had a bar.
And if someone did bring in a dog, what would you say?
Well, he's quite kept down, he'd be okay, like. I love dogs, really, like, you know.
Okay, mixed opinions there to Josh Crosby from the people of Cork. For more on this, we're joined by Nancy Creedon, clinical animal behaviourist. Nancy, are we humanising dogs too much?
Do you know what? I won't say ridiculous, okay? Because we are spoiling them with love and we are really very committed to our dogs these days. So that's a win-win-win, definitely. But what we're doing is, quite often, people are treating their dogs like grandchildren. So I always say to people, if you come to me and say you're treating your dog like a child, happy days. Are you educating them? Are you providing for all their needs, making sure they're eating good, all that kind of stuff? Or are you absolutely spoiling them like a grandmother, no rules, full of treats, all that kind of stuff? So definitely treating your dogs like kids and pampering your dogs these days, I'm okay with. It's just making sure you're drawing the line at their needs rather than your wants.
Okay, but I mean, pampering them and stuff like pedicures and stuff like that. I mean, you won't use the term ridiculous. I'm going to. That is ridiculous, isn't it?
It depends what way you're looking at it. So if you're thinking about an interaction between a dog and human that the dog is thoroughly enjoying and it's relaxing and they're associating human touch with trust and kindness, win-win, minimizing bite risks, making sure that that dog feels safe around people. People get to choose what they do with their time and do with their money. So if that's what you want to invest your time and money into, go for it. But making sure that you're meeting your dog's needs is the most important part there. And that's where it gets ridiculous.
Yeah.
When people do full-on treat their dogs like they're dolls and forget that, no, hang on a second, it is a dog. It does have its needs. And making sure that you're going out of your way to think of their lives from their point of view. You know, they may not necessarily say, "Mummy, I need a manicure or a pedicure," but they may say that, look, a nice interaction between human and dog, I'm all for it.
Okay, because like dogs, if they could choose their life, I'm presuming they'd want to live in a pack, they'd want to be out roaming, they'd want to be out hunting, and yeah, that's not the life they have now. But I presume we need to be careful that we don't take too much away from them, that we don't try and humanize them too much.
Yeah, big time. Now, it's kind of a double-edged sword here because we do want to treat them like dogs, and a happy dog is a dog doing its job. So it's not a dog out in the streets causing trouble with all the lads. It's a dog saying, hey, I'm a collie, let me go do collie-like behaviours. Hey, I love to follow scent, let me go do scent-like behaviours. So it is making sure that they're using their working brain. But also then when it does come to raising your dog, people will ridicule me for this, but I'm going to say it's all about gentle parenting, because we should be raising them like we raise children. Dogs cognitively and emotionally are highly similar to a three-year-old child. So when it comes to your interactions and how you're, I guess, meeting that dog's emotional needs, while again, sounds wacky, a happy dog doesn't bite. So if we're treating the dog like we would a three-year-old child, we're generally, we're being kind, we're being understanding, and we're making sure that we're not making the world a scary place.
What about the old pecking order? Do dogs not need to be reminded where they stand in the pecking order, unlike your three-year-old child?
So that is one of the biggest bugbearers in the dog behavior industry. So that came from one study in 1947 from a guy called Rudolf Schenkel, who researched wolves in an enclosure in Switzerland and they are in Sweden, and then decided that, oh, this is how dogs behave. So no, there was, dogs do not behave the same as wolves. Wolves form packs, which are family units, which is the breeding pair and the offspring. Dogs are social species, but they don't form fixed hierarchies. What you have is relationships. If you walk into a new job and the guy behind reception says, go make me a cup of tea and finish doing my filing, then yes, that is a dominant behavior. He's trying to see how far can he push things. Dogs will figure out their relationships with us and with one another to see, am I going to be able to do certain things? It's not about hierarchy. It's not about dominance. It's figuring out how is our relationship going to work so that they're comfortable in the environment. So we need to give them guidance. We need to give them rules. We need to show them that, look, don't worry. We got it. We got the rules here. We're going to keep you safe. We're going to make sure your needs are met. We're going to make sure you don't have any anxiety. And if a dog isn't given clear guidance, they can, yes, say, I'm going to chance this, I'm going to chance that, because they're not stupid. If it works for them, they're going to do it. But it's not about dominance and it's not about pack. They don't form packs. They're social species. They gather together like we would, but it's not the myth of this hierarchy and dominance.
Okay, a few questions for you. Where do you stand on putting clothes on your dog?
Okay, so I once had a rescue dog that she was like a greyhound lurcher kind of thing that we got from the UK, covered in scars, bald patches. She wasn't a looker, but she refused to go outside in the cold weather if she didn't have her fake fur jacket on. I felt ridiculous. I wasn't proud of walking around with a dog with a fur coat on, but she needed it for her comfort. If you've got a big scary dog that society is saying that dog's out to get us and it's super friendly, sticking a pink tutu on that dog is going to get a better response on the streets than a spiky collar and so on. So if there's a benefit to that dog's welfare, I'm okay with it. If it's your six-year-old dressing your dog up like it would a doll, manhandling the dog, changing the costume every 2 minutes, that's not meeting that dog's needs. That's not good for welfare. And that could potentially lead to an increase in bite risk. So it's circumstantial.
Okay.
It's definitely circumstantial. And we do have benefits to it and we do have negatives to it.
What about wheeling the dog or carrying it around? Do you see a lot of this dogs in bags now and stuff? People on the Lewis with the dog in a bag. Good idea, bad idea?
We do. And that's one that I have not yet fallen for. But there's benefits. Again, if you've got a young dog pre-vaccines and you want to get it out and experiencing the world, it's safe. It's got a distance. If you've got an elderly dog who's no longer able to get out and go for their walks, again, a big benefit there. And I think when you do see dogs in buggies and dogs in bags, in my experience, it is sensible, logical reasons behind doing it. We don't really see too many Paris Hilton wannabes going around with the chihuahuas and their Gucci handbags. They exist, but they are minimal. And to be honest, they're the people who get bored of the dog after 6 months when they end up in a rescue centre. So generally, if I see a dog in a pram, I'm okay with it.
Dogs in restaurants?
But you know, I'm not a fan of that. It's very, very rare that there's a dog that is enjoying and suitable for those kind of environments. When I see the farmers markets and there's dogs being dragged along absolutely petrified with the owner oblivious, it just makes my toes curl and it's so not fair on the dogs. So the vast majority of dogs should not be in these busy, chaotic, people-heavy environments.
Okay, so how do we get the balance right, or how do people get the balance right between, obviously people love their dogs and look, I think we've all had dogs that have felt like a member of the family, but how do we get the balance right between not overdoing that? And I mean, I don't know, people, I know a lot of dog owners who talk a lot about their dogs as well, and to be honest, I'm not really that interested in their dogs.
Do you know what I notice in the industry? People want to talk about their dog, but they don't want to listen to someone else talking about their dog. You're just waiting for the opportunity to jump in and say, well, my dog this. But do you know what? On that topic, the easiest way for society to become better dog owners is to be able to speak to their dogs. And while it sounds silly, it is so easy to go online and go on YouTube and look up canine body language training, and you will learn all about the subtle little behaviours that dogs do that indicate their emotional state. So things like a head turn, where the people think, oh, my dog hasn't even seen that I've got the pink tutu out. No, no, that's communication for I don't want to engage with that. A little paw lift is a sign that I'm feeling insecure and unsure about what's going on. So if you really love your dog, do you understand canine body language? Do you understand human body language back to the canine? And if you can watch a few videos on YouTube, you'll literally be able to speak to your dog, and then you'll understand if you're being fair and just to your own dog.
Okay, good advice, Nancy Creedon, a clinical animal behaviourist. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.